isn't everything, he wouldn't know. He's never lost. Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Classic rock, Teeny Beans, Blue Jeans. Yeah, just look around. It's a round table for this Friday the 27th. 2 hours of pulsating, if not penetrating, journalism about to descend upon you. To my left, Elliot Friedman. To my right, Damian Cox. To my far right, Michael Grange. And greetings and salutations to you all. Can't have that on the table.
I had it on the table yesterday.
Well, I didn't notice yesterday.
Okay.
Sorry.
So what happens when I go down to drink it? Do I have to, like,
oh, you can pick it up and drink it.
You're going to make sure you're off camera.
You can pick up and drink it, but why don't you just get a dirty Sportsnet mug and pour it in there?
Can't remember the last time I did one of these round tables. Are they any more civil?
What would you say, Elliot?
I would say Damien will determine the answer to that question.
Well, we'll see whether you're civil or not. The rest of us, I think, will be very civil. So we once again took phone calls, and today we had 80% calls on the Toronto Blue Jays and only 20% on other things, which is not necessarily encouraging because I like talking about baseball and I can talk baseball 12 months a year, but it's just reflective of the Blue Jays' grasp on the marketplace coast to coast. Is still intense as we are less than a month away from the holidays, from Christmas. The latest report from Ken Rosenthal that the Blue Jays interviewed Rene Francisco, an assistant general manager of the Kansas City Royals, for their GM position. Is this necessary? Does this organization need a replacement for Alex Anthopoulos, or do they have a guy?
They need more bodies. They need more horsepower. What title they bestow on everybody is up to them. And I guess in baseball, you can't have lateral. It's kind of poo-poo to hire people laterally. So an assistant GM becomes a GM when he leaves and goes to the new job. But you know, whether Alex Anthopoulos is your definition of a genius or just a guy who's filling an office, he pulled a lot of weight and they're down some bodies, so I presume they need some help.
Agree, Damien, or not?
I'm a little confused by the whole thing in that.
I think we're all confused by what's happened because we don't know why.
Well, despite the title, I'm sort of under the impression that Mark Shapiro is the GM.
There is speculation to believe that that is true. Yes.
And that maybe they're putting together a different kind of an organization here than previously existed. I also think, if you got Tony LaCava there, why are you interviewing assistant GMs of other teams? If Tony LaCava is not good enough, well, then you should fire him and bring in some of these other guys. But otherwise, I don't. I'm not sure I follow all this.
Well, I mean, you could end up doing like a baseball president of baseball operations, and Tony LaCava ends up being, you know, second in command to him as he was with Alex. I mean, baseball is the baseball team,
right?
Is just the operation of a baseball team is a big undertaking, like bigger than almost any sport. So, you know, I think the more good people you have from good organizations, the better.
I think it's interesting that, because that's exactly what Boston, for example, did. Dave Dombrowski got the VP title, and then he went out and he hired a general manager. But we all know who's calling the shots in Boston. It's Dombrowski. So that's exactly what I think it is. But I got to think it's a bad sign for LaCava because, as you mentioned, Mike, you can't hire guys on lateral moves. If they're under contract, you need to promote them to get them. So I'm curious to know. The other thing that really stands out for me here is that Kansas City is almost like the anti-Toronto in terms of they're like the most anti-sabermetric team out there. Ned Yost, as a manager, openly rips people who say that you should do things that way. And as an organization, they've tended not to do things that way. So I'm curious about that.
Well, I mean, Ned Yost is the way he manages in-game maybe reflects that, but I think the way they probably track talent, I'm sure they're a little more sophisticated than that.
No, but they're because if you're in baseball, like a lot of the sabermetrics believe in the three true outcomes: walk, strikeout, home run. Kansas City is a team that does not believe that. They're a contact team. Put the ball in play.
Steal bases.
They don't believe in a lot of the ways that the sabermetrics believe that you should run a team.
Well, not to get all completely sidetracked by sabermetrics, but it's not – that's one definition or one interpretation of sabermetrics. Mm. A broader definition is finding value, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, obviously I think what Kansas – the way I've interpreted what Kansas City has done is – you know, they built through the draft and, you know, for a while there, it was kind of fashionable in pursuit of on base percentage and stuff to draft guys with a lot of college experience who maybe didn't sort of meet your 5-tool criteria, but they executed in such a way that they could cumulatively, if you had enough of those guys, they could be good. Whereas Kansas City and the Blue Jays went down this road. They all of a sudden they found value in taking risks on draft picks, taking risks on athleticism. And then all of a sudden you have this in your lineup. And so, okay, well, how do we maximize that? So, you know, I know what you're saying in terms of
I'd be shocked if a
leading executive of a leading team, you know, comes in and says, sabermetrics, forget it. Like,
I meant to say different in the way that the Jays ran. The Jays certainly didn't look at it the same way Kansas City did.
Well, the Royals won, so maybe they should be going.
But the Jays built their team post JP Ricciardi, right? Mm-hmm. They went the other way from that, because that was JP Ricciardi's thing. Well, if I'm going to get players on a budget, I'm going to do as we were just talking about. Whereas Anthopoulos came in and says, okay, well, if that's the market's kind of dried up in that, or that, you know, pursuing that type of player has become incrementally more expensive, then I'm going to go and take big swing and miss bets on, you know, young international players
Big swingers and missers.
And the Moneyball thing was also that defense doesn't matter. And I think we'd all agree that was a big improvement in the Blue Jays this year was their team defense made a huge difference. So I think you're right. I think there's many schools of thought. Mm-hmm. And I think the pure sabermetrician or the pure whatever doesn't exist anymore. They're all bringing together all kinds of different philosophies and how to build baseball teams.
It's interesting because in baseball, I think there's more room to do it than in other sports, although basketball is really moving more and more in that direction, too.
Well, the thing in baseball, too, is some teams have to do it.
Right. But even L.A. with the biggest budget around is starting to go. They've hired Andrew Friedman from Tampa. Their new GM was a former, I believe he worked for Fangraphs.
But they had guys like that before, like Di Podesta and those guys. Right?
Yeah, but they let go of Di Podesta. Right. They went the other way, and now they're going back.
I mean, to me, the one nice thing about this offseason, even maybe it's because we're in Toronto and so they have dollars to spend. After watching all these sports, notably hockey, I think, but all these sports with salary caps, it is so nice to observe a sport that doesn't have a salary cap.
Isn't it?
Where teams have to decide how much they can spend, and that guides how they go about their business. If you want to be the Tampa Bay Rays and spend $20, then you better go find a bunch of guys who can play and play in a certain way if you want to be the New York Yankees or if you want to be something in between. And it's dictated by what you want to spend.
And it's been shown that different amounts of what you spend isn't directly related to how much you can win. Like it can open your window sooner or later, or longer. But
I mean, I remember before the NHL went on, it went out for a whole year and, you know, they would take polls. Do you want to a salary cap? Absolutely. Overwhelmingly. It's needed for the small markets. I'd be intrigued what people would think now that I think we've seen that the salary cap kind of squeezes out a lot of the fun. Makes Elliot and I, my job on Saturday nights really hard.
We just have to make up even more stuff every week. Wait till tomorrow. See what falsehoods we create.
But Bob, to your initial question, like, do they need a guy? I mean, absolutely they need a guy. And Tony,
you don't think Tony LaCava is the guy?
Interesting. I mean, when I was at Shapiro's press conference and talking to Tony LaCava there and everything he's said since, he truly does sound like an organizational man, right? And so he's like this idea that he's the interim. I don't think he's wearing that heavily or resentfully. That's certainly the impression he's given off. And, you know, and even if Shapiro wants, as everyone believes, to have a real strong say in how the baseball team, baseball operation is run. You know, that's kind of probably, and you would hope, given all the other things he needs to do to keep this organization, to keep the revenue of this organization growing so that they can spend on players. You know, you know, there's probably this stuff at this level. So Dave Dombrowski, yeah, he's the guy making the calls on David Price and a $200 million contract, sure. But when you look at the Blue Jays team that Anthopoulos put together, for all the kind of eye-popping maneuvers, you know, it was picking up Chris Colabello that mattered. It was, you know, finding Mark Lowe. It was
Travis Fregoso. Travis got hurt.
You know, like all, it was kind of some of these, less significant moves that I don't think Mark Shapiro is sitting at home and kind of poring over other teams' depth charts. Presumably he would want a really strong organization doing that for him and kind of bringing him information he can make a decision on.
Well, I think you make a valid point, especially with respect to Colabello and Estrada.
Estrada, yeah, that was the name I was struggling
with. There's a couple of guys that, like, you know, so what kind of deals when they were made? Like, why are you interested in those guys? And this team doesn't get where they got without those two guys. I'm not saying that they were the key guys, but they were integral pieces to that puzzle. You could make 10 of those deals and not find one guy that would come even close to being as good as those two guys wound up being. The concern I have about all this Kansas City talk is this is what happens in professional sports all the time, not just baseball. Who is the flavor of the month? How did they do it? We spent years talking about Moneyball because Billy Beane managed to get his team to the postseason with an inexpensive payroll and a different way of doing things. The Kansas City Royals were a completely and utterly inept organization for a decade and drafted highly and drafted pretty well and probably got a lot lucky and still don't have a big payroll, and wound up being successful with the group that they managed to put together. Can they maintain that? Can they sustain that? No. Because eventually all of these guys will come to their free agent years, and the Kansas City Royals will not have the economic wherewithal to keep the team together.
They'll have to be Tampa.
So they'll have to be Tampa. Tampa Bay, another organization, on a $50, $60, $70 million payroll, managed to get to the postseason, win a divisional championship in the toughest division in baseball, the American League East. So everybody kind of, whenever you get that success, inevitably, invariably, others in other organizations look to that organization as if they have found the secret sauce. They found the ingredient in there that I couldn't find. Let's go get one of their guys, and he'll help us do what they did. And I just think that is fool's gold. That is complete and utter folly. That is not the answer, because that formula changes every two or three years.
So, but you're not necessarily hiring this guy because he has a formula that he won't waver from. You're hiring whoever you hire. There's two things you're trying to get. One is the industry changes all the time, and people who have proven competency, and, you know, you want to go out, reach out to them. And what other way can you measure it than teams that have success and draft well and build good farm systems? Well, this guy must have a clue. And the other thing is, I think, and, you know, once the Blue Jays made the decision to part ways with Anthopoulos or vice versa, you know, now you're in a mode where you want to reach out and grow your network, right? Like, you want to, okay, we've got a guy from Cleveland. Let's get a guy from another organization. If we're not going to be the Alex Anthopoulos, Paul Beeston, Blue Jay way, then let's go and become a smarter, more diverse, flexible organization. So,
and the other thing they could be doing, Bob, is just trying to steal intel. Maybe this guy's not even a really contender for the job, but they've asked for permission. That happens a lot.
Yeah, it does. And I would say to you, you're probably 100% bang on that.
I mean,
I just find it interesting that a guy from the Kansas City Royals is the first name to surface.
Yeah, it could be that we just don't know other names. We don't know how serious
well
a contender
be.
He is. But I look
could
at it.
Could be Kenny Rosenthal doing the guy a favor.
Could be Kenny Rosenthal doing the guy a favor. But I think it could be
now,
as much the Blue Jays. the Blue
casting
Jays
casting aspersions upon our friend Mr. Rosenthal. I think.
Well, I heard Bob the last hour basically dumping all over the way we do our jobs at this time of year. So I'm just piling on.
What was
anyway.
He saying?
Oh, that we don't check things at this time of year, and we just throw things out there because we got to.
We
get
don't
stuff.
Check things.
Well, no,
people who do our jobs.
I didn't aspire to or factually. Cast aspersions on any of you.
You did, though. I was listening.
No,
to
I didn't.
Thing.
What I said was that
everybody but Bob,
my two baseball friends, Morosi and Rosenthal, mm-hmm. are generally at the top of the food chain when it comes to rumors. And yes, they're right many times, but they're also dead wrong many times. And I object less to them as legitimate journalists. Than I do the 100 other guys who sit in somebody's basement and write stories on a blog on the internet and get just as much attention. And you know, with no contacts or anything else. So that's all I said. As usual, you misconstrued what
you actually did say, because this was the part, like, I had no issue with anything you said.
But except for pointing out that Rosenthal made a prediction on something and the next day was 100%
wrong. I had
wrong.
No problem with that because that's happened to all of us.
I'm going to defend Bob here because every week Elliot says to me something that I said the previous week that I never said.
No.
So he is notoriously.
Do you know what Damien is? Damien is the human Snapchat. He says something and then it disappears after he says it.
Wow.
No. Okay, this is some finger pointing going on here now.
Oh, it gets ugly on Saturday nights.
Yeah, a lot of tension.
No, but the only thing that you said that I disagreed with was... You said at this time of year, you check things less than you normally would.
Agreed, because there's so much.
I disagree with that 100%.
Well, you don't know. there's so much going on.
Things
and
are just as uncivil as they were the last time I did this.
Look, you guys are in a competitive environment.
Yes.
You know who the other broadcasters are.
Yes.
You know that they're out there digging for stories, and you don't want them to get anything before you get it. Now,
absolutely.
That's not an invariable. You understand it's going to happen.
Yes.
But you're going to work hard to get as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
The dilemma you have is the quantity of information that is incoming at any given time. In May or June, it is easy to be a baseball reporter and take the time to quantify stories because nothing is happening. When you are in the offseason, not a single major free agent has signed.
Mm-hmm.
There is speculation that this is going to be among the most active offseason trade periods in baseball history,
mm-hmm.
that more general managers are willing to talk trade than at any time in recent history, at the very least. When you're under those pressures and the rumors and things are flying all over the place, I say it's human nature that some little things that you hear that you can't quantify, you do not want to sit on, so you kind of throw them out there. Now, it may be a soft toss as opposed to a high hard ball, but you put it out there. I don't know whether Rosenthal is right with respect to Francisco. I don't think he cares whether he's right about Francisco, and I don't think anybody at this table or listening or watching the show cares about Francisco, whether he's right or wrong. Whether they interviewed him, didn't interview him, gets the job, doesn't get the job, nothing else. It's a fairly insignificant story.
But I disagree with you on one thing you just said.
Not if he becomes general manager of the baseball team.
Then he can say, well, I told you first.
No. I do what the only
When it thing, happens, it happens.
The only thing I would disagree with your entire spiel there is that you said he doesn't care if he's wrong. I think guys do care if they're wrong, no matter how insignificant it may seem.
Yeah, they're trying to be right.
Yeah, I think guys really do care a lot if they're wrong.
But the other thing too, Bob, is it's you know, we're getting completely off topic here. But you also have to deal with a lot of misdirection from teams.
Of course,
and agents. And agents.
From everybody.
And everything. And so you're sort of sifting through that, trying to figure out what you should believe, what you want to pass on, and what, in a lot of cases, what adds up. But that doesn't mean you don't care that you're wrong. You're just trying to, as best you can, to put the pieces together.
Well, I wouldn't say that Ken Rosenthal or you guys or John Paul Morosi or the people of that stature care if they're wrong. Perhaps what I more succinctly should have said is there are a lot of people out there filling a lot of space on the internet who don't care if they're wrong.
Now, that's true.
Who are only there to fill as much space as they can with anything they can think of, anything that pops into their head, whether it's legitimate or not legitimate. And how does the average consumer differentiate between Joe Schmo's blog and Sportsnet? I don't, I mean, you would hope that they do. You would hope that they would understand that they are entirely different animals that have an entirely different set of parameters under which they must operate. But you don't know that.
It's the modern world. Mm-hmm. You would hope that there's people out there who understand every time Donald Trump opens his mouth, he's lying. But there are a lot of people who believe he's telling the truth.
Well, there's a lot of idiots in the Republican Party because he's still the number one candidate.
So it's no different than probably news. I mean, that's our 600-channel megawatt.
You pick who you believe. You pick who you don't believe.
Yeah, and you hope that when people are right more often than not, like a Ken Rosenthal, that it's worth listening to them.
I'm in favor of Tony LaCava being the general manager on a short-term contract. And I don't think you can do a one-year deal, so you do a two-year deal. I think that makes the most sense. I think in the absence of a high-profile GM with a track record, and I don't believe for a second that this president will hire such a guy, why not let's see what LaCava's got? LaCava's a guy who has interviewed for general manager's jobs, allegedly been offered them and turned them down. He is obviously qualified. Mm-hmm. He certainly knows the system better than anybody that's here, and I think that's an asset, especially when you've got a new president. Until he gets up to speed with who they have at all levels of the organization, what the value of these guys actually is, where he doesn't have to ask somebody, well, who's this guy at shortstop at Dunedin? Is he going to, how do we rate him?
But wouldn't you believe there's going to be a major bloodletting at some point in the Jays organization?
Well, that's fine, and maybe it'll be valid.
It doesn't happen necessarily right away.
Put LaCava in the job for the next 2 years, assess him, allow Shapiro to assess the organization, to come to understand it, understand the marketplace.
Well, I mean,
and this is not all deference to Alex Anthopoulos.
Here's another reason why you keep LaCava. If Shapiro and LaCava are on the same wavelength, and that's a relationship that's functioning very, very well, is all the, as you mentioned, like there is this whole team that I'm sure presume could only be very, very loyal to Alex, very, very loyal to how Alex perceived various talents, various approaches, everything from coaches to managers. I'm talking the minor league
how
level.
How he did business.
Level talent. So I think if LaCava is in place and he and Shapiro can come to a good understanding of how to proceed, then that's going to flow nicely down the organization.
Agreed.
Right? So whereas if you somehow bump aside LaCava or perceived to have been not loyal to LaCava or whatever it might be, then you run the risk potentially of, because this is, it's not a military organization.
No, you
right?
alienate people.
Right. Yeah, but all of a sudden it's like, what do you mean he doesn't think?
But presumably they didn't bring in Mark Shapiro to keep everybody in place. They brought in him to change the organization.
But that goes back to
I don't think
they
necessarily did.
Well, that would be insane.
Well, that goes back to them.
He's going to bring in either his own people or people that he believes that he wants to work for him.
He's going to do the organization his way. I think what we still don't know is who of the current crop of people in the organization sees things his way. And that's what I wonder if we're waiting for here. Does he sit there and say, I'm going to take 4 or 5 months to get to know everybody and see who shares my vision?
You don't have 4 or 5 months, right? Like, you've got decisions to make.
I remember when John Davidson took over the Columbus Blue Jackets, for example, in hockey, he didn't fire everybody. He didn't fire people right away.
But that goes to my earlier point, though.
You get to learn who works.
Well, Shanahan, look at Shanahan with the Leafs.
More streamlined than baseball organizations.
Which is hockey art?
Yeah, it's much more like baseball. How many teams are in a baseball organization? There's like 6 or 7 or 8 minor league affiliates. There's multiple drafts. There's
all kinds of personnel.
It's a much bigger, more convoluted operation.
I don't disagree with that.
And a bigger industry.
I just think for someone to go into an organization and just start firing people before my point is that I see why.
Take your time.
Yeah, see
what you've got.
But the point I was making was not that I think your analogy with Shanahan was apropos.
Yeah.
he went in, he looked, he observed for a year, and then he fired a whole bunch of people because he wanted to bring in his own people.
Right.
I'm saying ultimately, Mark Shapiro is going to come in, and he's going to let a bunch of people that are in the organization go.
Fine.
And he's going to bring in his own people.
There's a mitigating factor here. Sorry, Mr. Grange, but the other mitigating factor is Shanahan had a crummy organization that had been crummy for 10 years, and had no real pressure to do anything. He could do nothing or he could do something, and either way, it was going to be perceived however it was going to be perceived. The Toronto Blue Jays just had a breakthrough year and have the distinct advantage of having every single one of their everyday players back. Every single one of their everyday players back. Yeah, they have a few holes to fill, but every team has holes to fill. You have the opportunity to win another American League East and maybe be a World Series team. The favorite for the 2016 World Series right now in Las Vegas? Toronto Blue Jays. Now, that means nothing, really, except there's a recognition that this is a good team as it sits right now, almost regardless what else you do. I think that mitigates against change. I think it gives Shapiro the opportunity to be patient, to look and see.
Would you have said the same thing on July 1st?
Not a chance.
No, but that's the difference.
That's
right?
The point.
That's the difference, is when Shapiro was approached and then this whole thing was bungled, it was when the team was much more in the Brendan Shanahan scenario where you're taking over kind of a pretty dozy
organization. We'll see how this whole thing's unfold, but people don't get those jobs and then leave everybody in their job. It just doesn't happen.
A little closer,
please. It just doesn't happen. You know.
Hope that there's some time that he is patient enough and is not obstinate or stubborn. And says it's my way or the highway, and marches
look at,
in
look
here.
At it from his position, why would you come in and leave all these Alex Anthopoulos loyalists to tell you what to do? Why would you do that? You got to either understand that they want to be your loyalists, or you better bring in somebody who you know you can trust.
Look, there's a whole lot of levels to this thing, but I mean, the truth of the matter is, they brought Shapiro in because at the time they didn't think Anthopoulos had a future with the organization, and they needed a guy who could be both president and pseudo general manager at the very least.
Turned out to be true.
Well, he created a situation where Anthopoulos was happy to leave.
But it's. I mean, as that situation fades, I mean, it's a complicated situation he stepped into for all the reasons we've just been discussing.
Sure, it is.
And also, as much as this is a team that's poised to win, it's also poised to be very, very different in 12 months, you know, with all the free guys going into the last year of their deals and the age of those guys and all of that.
There's a lot of issues to address that should be taking up his time. And I think the least of those issues is who's in your front office. I think right now you can make the argument the front office isn't broken. Maybe it was a miracle. Absolutely, you would have looked at it differently in early June or mid-July. But right now, I don't think you have to do those things. Why not focus on the things you need to do? We'll address that subject, and where do you go with David Price or other free agent pitchers when Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks?
Now, Primetime is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Three before the hour, the roundtable continues on Primetime. McCowan, Cox, Friedman, Grange. Thanks to Subway Canada for feeding this Friday's roundtable. Oh, Damien, Star Wars The Force Awakens collectible cups are now at Subway.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't.
Come in and collect all six featuring different characters from the movie. Take your kids on a galactic adventure into Subway for a special Star Wars treat. Every Subway Kids pack comes with a free glow stick lightsaber and one of eight exclusive messenger bags, Damien. Wow.
What's a messenger bag?
I don't know. Also, come in and try the delicious prime rib melt. Thick cuts of juicy Canadian beef layered with melted cheese on a loaf, toasted to perfection, built to your highest standards.
Why does this feel like a game show suddenly?
This is a sandwich not to be missed. Subway, eat fresh.
I like it.
David Price is the subject of
the new Star Wars movie.
Well, I haven't seen it. Have you seen it? It's not out yet.
I want to see it though. I'm excited.
Me too.
Are you?
December 18th.
I should probably maybe I should watch all the other Star Wars movies first.
You've never watched them?
Never.
What?
What?
Never seen any of them.
You're kidding.
No.
Me either.
Not interested.
You've never seen them?
Never.
Wow.
That's weird.
Not really.
My kid's seen them.
David Price is
who knew?
The topic of much interest and concern. I submit, disagree or not, if David Price finished last season in the Detroit Tigers organization, there'd be virtually no conversation in Toronto about David Price. Agreed?
True.
Right. So we understand why he's the focus of attention. Does it make sense for the Blue Jays to go after David Price at the alleged price of $30 million a year? Or does it make more sense to acknowledge that you need two starting pitchers? Let's take that $30 million and invest it in some way, shape, or form on two guys who will cost you $30 million. Good idea, bad idea?
I like
the idea. You better off with one big stud or better off with two guys on whom you can rely?
More good guys than one good. I take more okay guys than one good guy, one really good guy.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Are we convinced that they're going to be able to get two okay guys?
Not necessarily. I mean, we're just theorizing here. We don't know whether they're interested in David Price. We don't really know what the budget is.
To me, the question is, who do you think the Blue Jays are going to get?
Well, I don't know. There are names out there. I'm simply, you know, you want to pin me down on options, and I can't give you options.
I
know that Zimmerman will cost less than David Price.
Yes.
But not a lot less, Bob.
No, I think he'll cost a lot less. I don't think Zimmerman will get more than $20 million.
I heard Scott Boras is trying to get $23 million.
Well, Scott Boras is Scott Boras. He also has had players sit out because he couldn't get what he thought was fair value. I'm led to believe that Zimmerman is probably in the $16 to $18 million category, and if you bump it up for Boras, maybe it's $20. But that leaves you $10 to get a decent kind of fourth or fifth guy. And you can get a pretty decent fourth or fifth guy for $10
million. Fourth and fifth guys. They need an ace. Now, is Marcus Stroman the ace?
I would say to you, Marcus Stroman has not demonstrated he's not the ace. Marco Estrada demonstrated, I believe, he is going to be as good a pitcher next year as he was this year. I have no reason to believe he won't. And you've got Dickey, who will give you your 200 innings and a reasonable effort. And, yes, he'll give up some runs, but you got the best offense, 5.5 runs a game in all of baseball. So his record will be pretty decent.
Well, if you take Dickey, Stroman, and Estrada, and you take them from August 1st on, that's a 1-2-3. Like a really good 1-2-3, based on how they performed the last 10-12 weeks of the year.
And, Drew Hutchison never comes up in conversation anymore, but I wouldn't write him off.
Yet. No, but I'm not. I mentioned him last hour.
Yeah. So
he's another guy in the mix. But you really do need two starters. You don't want to start with five guys and then go, now what?
Well, that's why I'd be more inclined to kind of spread my eggs a little bit. You know, because someone's
going to...
In
general,
my eggs, I said.
With starting
not
pitching.
Not whatever... bizarre thing you're trying to suggest. Just, you know, like eggs in one basket, Elliot.
Sure.
Elliot.
That's Damien.
Okay.
But
egg away.
I'm just not comfortable with, I'd be way more comfortable with, you've seen how with this offense, the biggest variable is, can you get guys who can provide 200 innings? And, you know, I don't think it matters so much that those 200 innings are of ace-like quality. And instead, what's more important is you don't run into a situation where you're trying to, you know, roll guys out there who from AAA. So I think, you know, I'd be more comfortable if you have a little bit of excess in terms of arms rather than a single guy like Price who every fifth day gives you that, you know, that chance to win. I'd rather have a bunch of guys you could throw out there.
Elliot.
Let me just take the alternate view for a second. So you've got Stroman. Shocking. You've got Dickey. You've got Estrada for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Do you think you can win the World Series in 2 years with David Price and those three guys?
I'm not following.
What about here. Next year?
This is my point. Do you think you can win? This is the question I'm asking. I would be asking if I was the owner of the Blue Jays. If we take the run at David Price and pay him what he wants, just for argument's sake, do we think we can win the World Series next year?
Like 2016?
Yes.
Of course.
Then I would consider doing it. At the end of the day, you want to win a World Series, right? There's no guarantees.
Oh, are you better off to have David Price at $30 million and have no money to fill that fifth spot in the rotation?
Well, you know what? You still have Hutchison. You've got guys.
You don't.
They just got the guy from Oakland.
Jesse Chavez. They got the guy, Chavez. Like,
Chavez is a fringe guy.
I'm looking at it. If you go with Price, Stroman, Dickey, and Estrada this year, and I'm taking my chances.
I'm not convinced that ultimately, too, they're not going to try to turn Sanchez or Osuna into a starter.
I am taking my... Now, I realize I you're betting
the answer
7 years
they would
for
rather
one.
Not. They might have to, but they would rather not.
I think an answer to your question is if you have Price, you have enough. So when you say, I would rather spread it around, well, how many... Like, I think if you have Price, you have enough.
Well, there's this other
win the World Series.
Yeah, Let me give you another one.
But that's a little bit of a fantasy because getting Price means a 7-year, $200 million
contract.
But that
was the question.
That's the question I'm being asked. Right. And if I'm the owner and I looked at last year and how hard it is to win,
well, I would say this.
I'm going for it.
Yeah, but I think you can get Price if you want to spend $30 million bucks next year. I'm saying the Blue Jays, I'm sure, would do that deal if you get Price for 1 year at $30 million. But you don't get them for 1 year. Nobody's worried about spending $30 million next year.
No.
It's spending
$180
million behind that.
I totally understand what you're saying.
So I think much more.
And crippling the organization.
Well, I look at
it. If he gets hurt.
I look at it this way. If you win the World Series and that's the bet you're making, then I'm putting up with whatever the next 6 years are.
I think if you do what Bob describes and you get, you know, a 1A type pitcher.
Suppose you got Zimmerman at 20, sure. And then you have $10 million to spend on somebody else.
I think you could win the World Series doing that too.
I just don't know what the realistic chances of them getting these guys is.
Okay, like, but a team that hits that is the highest scoring team in baseball.
Yeah.
No reason to believe they won't be the highest scoring team again next year.
Well, sure there is. There's a lot of variables.
There's a variable, but it's a pretty solid team.
Well, all their guys stayed pretty healthy.
Well, yeah, but that's true of everything.
Yeah.
No, but generally speaking, you can't count on health like that every year. But, so it's, you know, guys age, guys have bad years.
Well, Tulowitzki was out for a period of time. Batista was out with the arm injury for a period of time. Edwin missed a bunch of games because of his finger. So there were, you know, bumps and bruises out there. It wasn't as pure as you think it was. But
it's hard to imagine the offense falling off a cliff to the point that they could only win with pitching.
They're not. This team is not going to be built all of a sudden on the strength of their starting rotation. What you want is a competent starting rotation that allows your offense to win games. Which raises the question for me: do I need David Price to go out there and throw shutouts and four hitters and have an ERA of 2.1? When I'm going to get 5.5 runs a game.
Yes, you do. You do.
I don't need that.
Yes, you do.
No,
you
I don't.
Bob, on the basis of that. The argument you're making, they should have won the World Series this year.
Well, if David Price had pitched like David Price, they might have.
Well, there's the other point.
I would say if they could have scored a man from somebody from second and third with nobody out, they would have perhaps.
Yeah, but I mean, David Price was the least effective starting pitcher in the postseason.
Yeah. Without a
Dickey.
Doubt.
Dickey had one.
Good start.
Which to me means their offense couldn't overcome this is actually the opposite of what you're saying. Their offense couldn't overcome the just merely competent pitching.
You know, and Bob, the other thing I would say too is that in free agency, if you're going to gamble a long-term contract on somebody, I'm going to gamble on the guy I know. Like, I don't know Jordan Zimmerman. I don't know these other guys. I have intel on David Price. I know exactly what I have here. And I believe in that. The other thing, too, is...
Well, what do you have?
Let's flip
you have
that
a guy that wins, can win 18 to 20 games in the regular season and can't beat anybody in the postseason.
But you still at least can get to the playoffs with him.
Well,
no, but let's,
that's hard
let's
to
flip,
do.
Let's
you
flip
just told us the whole objective is to win the World Series.
Because what happened...
Yeah, but it gives you a chance, Damon.
Elliot,
it so gets you in the conversation.
Grange.
Your
Sorry,
point
Michael.
Is well taken, right?
Yeah.
They know David Price.
Yeah.
And from what we can gather, the interest... And we all presume it's financial, right? That they don't want to commit $200 million or they can't commit $200 million to one guy. But if you rewind to the playoffs and certainly the ALCS, right, what did we actually see with our own eyes regarding David Price? At every turn, right, they set it up that Marcus Stroman, not David Price, was the guy they were going to rely on at the critical moments. And the reports, the whispers, the suggestions, right? There was kind of this little mini controversy brewing from various sources was that on the Blue Jays side, they were concerned about his velocity. They thought he wasn't generating any hit and miss stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They thought, you know, you remember they skipped him for a start. And on the Price, out of the Price side of the argument was they're kind of yanking me up and down like a yo-yo and they're not using me right and blah, 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 blah. But so maybe somewhere in there, there's a bit of intelligence based on exactly what you've just said that, you know, if we're going to go after a $200 million pitcher, this is not the time and place to go after David Price.
And that's fine. You know, I think that's a very legitimate argument, Michael. I do. I'm just saying if you're asking me, am I going for 215 or a 20 and a 10 or I'm going with Price with the rest of the rotation I have, I'm going for Price because he at least gets you there. He gets you into the playoffs, which is a difficult thing to do, and I'll take my chances. That's my choice. And also, like, Jordan Zimmermann and somebody else, like, how do you know they're going to do what he does?
I don't expect Zimmermann to be as good as Price.
But also, you don't know if you can get these guys to Toronto. I mean, all I'm saying is that I'm going with the guy.
Well, you don't
know.
You first of all, there's speculation that Dombrowski is prepared to offer $30 to $40 million more than anybody else to get David.
Then you
Price
won't get him
in a Boston uniform. Which means, if true, you're not getting him.
Yeah.
Assuming Price is willing to go to Boston, and he may not be. We don't know what David Price really wants or doesn't want. There's one other possible equation here in a minute. Would you sign David Price? You have a conversation within the office. Let's sign David Price. Let's give him 7 years, $210 million, $30 million a year. We'll commit to him for 1 year inside this room. At the end of the 1 year, we'll put him back out on the marketplace.
Absolutely, I would do that. And they've done it before. It's just this time you can't admit that you did it so you don't get fined and suspended with Roger Clemens.
What are you saying?
He's saying that
if your concern is the long-term commitment to David Price,
right,
paying him $30 million when he's a 38-year-old pitcher and you don't know what you're going to get, you sign him for 7 years. You commit internally. You commit to 1 year.
So you lie to him.
No.
Well, he's a 10-5 guy who would have all kinds of rights to decide what he can and can't do, right?
Well, he won't be five because he won't have played 5 years in Toronto.
And they don't have any kind of clauses.
He'd have to work it into his contract that he
can
have.
Do they have?
Oh, yeah, you can do that. You can put lists of teams.
I don't think he's going to put himself in a position where he can be traded.
Well, I'm theorizing here. I don't know whether it could
happen. Or you put a list of teams in there, like, if we want to trade you, you've got to give us the teams that you'll go to.
Or you do something kind of really creative, like we were kind of kicking around off air. Like, maybe you do a 2-year deal at 60 or 80 million with an option after 1 year, or a 3-year
deal.
Well,
I said a 4-year deal, you know, with 2 years
something
out.
Like some way where he can,
David, after 2 years, if you want to walk, you can walk. It's a Roger Clemens deal. It's essentially what it is. Roger Clemens won 2 Cy Young Awards in the 2 years he pitched in Toronto and then left because he had that kind of a deal. David, you want to take the chance that the economics of baseball are such that you'll get paid more by somebody else at the end of 2 years? Okay, we're all right with that. The concept is shorter commitment. More to come. Another full hour of the Roundtable on Primetime.